Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Bidder webcast for the March 2021 auction under AEP Ohio's Competitive Bidding Process, or CBP. My name is Chantal Lacasse from NERA Economic Consulting, and I have two colleagues with me today, Rachel Northcutt and Matt Tezit, that will help me present the materials for this Bidder webcast. Before starting, let me go through a disclaimer that we'll be making various statements throughout this webcast that will be describing or referring to the governing documents for this auction. And those statements are summaries only, and they're qualified in their entirety by our reference to the governing documents on this slide. The governing documents include orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, or PUC or PUCO, under case 16-1852-EL-SSO, which is the case for AEP Ohio's Electric Security Plan, or ESP4, as well as case 17-2391-EL-UNC, from July 15, 2020 and August 26, 2020, that modified the products that are going to be offered in this and in the prior auction following the postponement of PJM's base residual auction. As well, in these governing documents, we include the bidding rules for the auction under the competitive bidding process for AEP Ohio, which are also called the CBP rules, the Master Standard Service Offer, or SSO, supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, as well as the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. All of those documents, as well as other information, is available through the CBP website at AEPOhioCBP.com, and we'll be providing more information about the contents and the information available on this website later on in the presentation. I mentioned that myself and my colleagues are from NERA Economic Consulting, and NERA acts as the auction manager for the auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. And as such, we are the main point of contact with bidders, responding to questions, as well as evaluating qualifications and ensuring that this evaluation is equitable and fair. As auction manager, we also administer the auction and present the results of the auction to the commission through a report. On the agenda this morning for this presentation is to provide an overview of the Electric Security Plan and the auctions in the next section, to provide also a short description of the design of the product and the contract. I'll then pass it along to Matt to discuss the information that's available through the CBP website, and then Rachel will close the presentation by going through the application process, including new procedures that were first introduced for the November 2020 auction, as well as discussing bids and generally bidding in the auction. You can ask questions throughout the webcast through the WebEx interface by locating the Q&A on the right-hand side of your screen. Please select all panelists in the Ask box and type in your questions. And if you can, include any relevant slide numbers, and you can click send to submit your questions. We'll be endeavoring to respond to questions as we go along, as practicable, and we'll also pause at the end of the presentation to provide any additional responses. This presentation, so the slides and the recording, as well as questions and answers that we'll be responding to throughout the presentation, will be posted to the CBP website. So let me start then by providing an overview for the upcoming auction. So the upcoming auction will feature only a 12-month product with a start date to the supply period of June 1, 2021. Now, the March 2021 auction was originally included a 12-month and a 36-month product. However, PJM's base residual auctions for the 22-23 delivery year, as well as from the 23-24 delivery year, did not occur as scheduled and will not be held prior to the auction. And as such, the Commission issued an order requiring AEP Ohio to procure only a 12-month product in both this past auction, November 2020, and in this current auction for March 2021. AEP Ohio filed a motion to comply with this order, and that motion was approved by the Commission on August 26, 2020. Therefore, the upcoming auction features just a 12-month product and features 33 tranches of that product. The date of the auction is March 9th, 2021. We're mentioning that because that's a bit of a change compared to the tentative future schedule that was first released to the website. So it's March 9th, 2021. This will be the 8th in the series of 12 full requirements auction under AEP Ohio's ESP4. And in accordance with recent Commission orders, AEP Ohio will be filing a plan for procurement of supply for SSO customers for June 2022 and beyond, that is at the end of the 12-month supply period, which is relevant for the past and the current auction. The prior auction in November 2020 was also for 33 tranches of a 12-month product, so exactly the same as the upcoming auction. For that auction, there were 15 registered bidders, and the range for the starting price, so for the price in round one of the auction, was between $60 and $80 per megawatt hour. And the clearing price for that auction was $46.71 per megawatt hour. The Commission reviewed the auction results and accepted them on November 4th. The tranches for the auction are a load following slice of system for requirement tranches, and a specific tranche is a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are those customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, but those customers do include percentage of income payment plan or PIP customers. Winners at the auction assume responsibility as a load serving entity or LSC in PJM, and that includes scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. And the delivery point is provided on this slide. The P-note is provided on this slide here. The load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches, and there are 33 tranches. That's the tranche target for the upcoming auction, and each tranche is 1% of the load of SSO customers. So that means that a supplier that serves a single tranche provides all requirements, necessary services to meet the needs of SSO customers for 1% of the load of those customers. There's also a load cap that's applicable to the auction of 26 tranches. The load cap is a limit on the number of tranches that a supplier can bid and win in the auction. So it's 26 tranches for the upcoming auction. So that describes in high-level overview the product of the auction and the responsibility of a supplier that wins at the auction. Next, I'll describe briefly the auction format, so the way in which bids are solicited and evaluated. The auction format for the auctions under AP Ohio CBP is a clock auction that features multiple tranches for a single term for this upcoming auction. There are multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers state how many tranches that they want to supply at a price that's announced by the auction manager called the going price for the round. If there are more tranches that are bid in to be supplied than are necessary, then the price will decrease in the next round. So from one round to the next, the auction continues and the price continues to decrease or tick down if there is excess supply. The auction then closes when the number of tranches that are bid just meet the number of tranches that are being procured. There are various ways in which auction formats, clock auction formats are run, and for the particular auction format that's used in AP Ohio's auction under its CBP, there is no sealed bid round. Instead, bidders provide excess prices throughout the rounds as they withdraw tranches. The auction, when it closes, establishes a single clearing price that is applicable to all tranches and all winning suppliers. In the next few slides, there's going to be a number of announcements. So first, the minimum and maximum starting prices. So we noted that the clock auction format is a multiple round auction format, and the price that will be announced by the auction manager at which suppliers will bid in round one will be selected between $60 a megawatt hour and $80 a megawatt hour, and that is called the minimum and the maximum starting prices or round one prices for the auction. So that's the same range that was used for the November 2020 auction. We're also announcing a megawatt measure that's based on the peak load contribution in megawatts that's based on the five highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM in the prior year for SSO customers. So that is only for customers on the service for non-shopping customers. That is provided to you here as 25.98 megawatts. And to be noted that this megawatt measure is provided for reference purposes only, for informational purposes only. The amount or actual quantity to be delivered by SSO suppliers will depend on a number of different factors, for example, on the level of migration of SSO customers. Suppliers are paid the auction clearing price times a seasonal factor during the delivery term, and that seasonal factor is expected to be one. On this next slide is a calendar that provides a couple of things. One is when various events leading up to the auction are going to occur. And secondly, when certain announcements and certain parameters are going to be provided or confirmed with bidders. This webcast is being held today on January 12th. In view of the opening of the Part 1 window on January 14th, that is the first day in which bidders can access the application website and start providing information and materials for their Part 1 application. So the Part 1, abbreviated here by P1, the Part 1 application will then be due on January 29th, so the deadline is noon on January 29th for the Part 1 applications. The Part 1 applications will be evaluated, and results of the Part 1 application process will be provided to bidders on February 4th, the day of the Part 1 notification. Bidders will be advised, suppliers will be advised whether they have qualified as bidders at that time. Following the Part 1 process is the Part 2 process, so the application process is in two parts, and the window for submission of the Part 2 application opens on the day after. So suppliers are notified whether they have become qualified bidders on February 5th. The Part 2 applications are due by noon on February 23rd. After the Part 2 applications are evaluated, suppliers are notified whether or not they have been successful in the Part 2 application process by March 2nd, and successful suppliers will receive at that point a bidder manual with details of the bidding procedures. That's 1 week before the start of the auction on March 9th. In between those two events, there will be a trial auction, which is every bidder's opportunity to practice the bidding procedures, and there will also be an announcement to registered bidders only of the price in round one of the auction. That's on March 4th. Other announcements during that time frame, we've provided several of those announcements today to confirm the tranche target, the tranche size, the megawatt measure, the range of the starting prices, minimum and maximum starting prices, and the seasonal factor. We will be confirming in the megawatt measure and any update to the seasonal factors on February 5th. I mentioned that the application process is in two parts, the Part 1 application due by noon on January 29th and the Part 2 application due by noon on February 23rd. This application process is online. For the Part 1 application, the main elements of the Part 1 application are for suppliers to provide contact and company information, to provide inserts. Those are separate forms in Microsoft Word format, and I'll be talking about the acceptable ways to complete those inserts in the next slide. And also in the Part 1 application, suppliers upload any required documentation, and that includes financial information for a creditworthiness assessment. If a supplier is successful in the Part 1 application, the supplier becomes a qualified bidder that's invited to submit the Part 2 application, in which the qualified bidders provide information and provide an indicative offer. This indicative offer at the maximum starting price in turn determines the amount of pre-bid security that the supplier qualified bidder is required to submit. This pre-bid security can be submitted either as a pre-bid letter of credit or as cash. Also with the Part 2 application are additional inserts that must be provided. In terms of completing the inserts, the auction manager does accept digital signatures so that inserts can be either printed and then signed, including with a notarization as required, scanned and then uploaded back into the online form. Or alternatively, insert can be completed with a digital signature and a document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory. By digital signature, we mean use of a commercial software such as DocuSign that does create that additional document or information that can verify the identity of the signatory. To help bidder with that process, if you do select to use digital signature, we are providing a guide to completing the inserts with a digital signature and providing that additional document or information to verify the identity of the signatory. Note that we're making a distinction here between a digital signature that is produced by a commercially available software such as DocuSign and an electronic signature, which would be, for example, a picture of a signature. Electronic signatures are not acceptable. Digital signatures are, but electronic signatures are not acceptable. The other aspects of the application procedure that I highlight here, with more details to come later on the presentation, is regarding pre-bid security. So I mentioned that pre-bid security can be submitted in the form of cash or in the form of a letter of credit. If you are opting to submit the pre-bid security through a pre-bid letter of credit, please note that that pre-bid letter of credit is in electronic form only. The standing form of the pre-bid letter of credit is created so that the submission of the letter of credit is via electronic means only. If you're providing that pre-bid letter of credit, it will then be provided only to the auction manager via electronic means at ap-cbp@nira.com. Hard copies of the pre-bid letter of credit are not acceptable for this upcoming auction. So we invite you to review the form of the letter of credit of this electronic pre-bid letter of credit, as well as the acceptable modification to the pre-bid letter of credit that is currently posted to the CBP website. The results of the auction are contingent on final approval by the commission, and the auction manager submits a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the day that the auction closes, and the auction manager advises the bidders at that time when that report has been transmitted to the commission. The commission has 2 business days from the close of the auction to issue a decision, and if the results are accepted, then the commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and eventually the names of the winning bidders from the auction. Within 3 business days of the commission's acceptance of the result, the contracts, the master SSO supplier agreements, are fully executed, and the winning bidders are required to fulfill any creditworthiness requirement that applies to them. That concludes the overview. We'll talk briefly about the product a little bit more, as well as certain provisions of the master SSO supplier agreement with respect to credit. So as a reminder, as we noted, SSO suppliers winners at the auction after approval by the commission of the auction results become responsible for all the responsibilities of a load-serving entity in PJM with respect to their percentage of the load of SSO customers. As such, they're responsible for providing full requirement service, including energy capacity ancillary services to all to their percentages of SSO customers of AEP Ohio, where those SSO customers exclude PIP customers. They're also responsible for bearing all costs that are associated with this responsibility. The exact nature of the full requirement service and of the LSC obligations of SSO suppliers are defined in the master SSO supplier agreement. In particular, we draw your attention to attachment F of the master SSO agreement that provides a sample PJM invoice which each billing line items and whether it's the responsibility of the SSO supplier or of AEP Ohio. We'll talk briefly and provide an overview about the credit requirements under the master SSO supplier agreement. There are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those, there are 2 distinct unsecured credit lines that a supplier or its guarantor may qualify for. The first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR, and that's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the master SSO supply agreement. Now, corresponding to this credit requirement, There's also an unsecured credit line that can be used to meet the ICR, and that credit line is called the independent credit threshold. Whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for an independent credit threshold depends on a credit worthiness assessment, the criteria of which are provided in the master SSO supplier agreement. And there's also an evaluation of the credit worthiness of the supplier or its guarantor in the Part 1 application process that can provide some information as to how the supplier or its guarantor will be treated under the term of the master SSO supplier agreement. The second credit requirement is a mark-to-market or MTM exposure, and that exposure of a SSO supplier is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date the auction was completed. To meet this exposure, a supplier or guarantor can depend on a credit limit, which is an unsecured credit line that can be granted to the supplier or the guarantor for this purpose. And that's also based on the criteria provided in the master SSO supplier agreement. To meet the financial security under the terms of the master SSO supplier agreement, in addition to having an unsecured credit line, a supplier can also use a guarantee with credit worthy guarantor, and a form of guarantee is provided as part or as an attachment to the master SSO supplier agreement. A supplier can also use a letter of credit, and there is a form of performance assurance letter of credit that's also provided as an attachment to the master SSO supplier agreement, and a supplier can also use cash. That completes the brief overview of those specific provisions of the master SSO supplier agreement, and I'll turn it over to Matt to provide you with more information on the CBP website.
Thank you, Chantal. So in this section, I will provide an overview of the auction website. So as you mentioned before, the auction website is aepohiocbp.com, and it is the central source of information where bidders can find posted announcements relating to the auction, a schedule with important dates for the current auction, auction documents, as well as data provided by AEP Ohio. Bidders can navigate through the website by using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen as shown here. Selecting the information tab will display the link to access the documents page along with the links to the announcements and FAQs page. On the documents page, bidders can find the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, the pre-bid security documents, as well as the digital signature guide. Also on this page are the illustrated versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. And this presentation will also be posted to the documents page, and this is expected to be made available later today. So selecting the Data Room tab will bring you to the page with data which is made available by AEP Ohio, and that data includes hourly energy data, customer count data, PLC and MSPL data, and monthly switching statistics. And this data will be updated each month on or before the 20th of that month. To contact us, the auction manager, you can select the Contact Us page of the website, and here you can register to receive announcements about the auction as well as any upcoming auctions. And you can register to receive login credentials to access the application forms to participate in the auction. You can ask a question by clicking on the Ask a Question link and filling out the required information as shown here. And your question will be submitted to the auction manager, and we will aim to provide a response within 2 business days. And lastly, you may also send us questions by email to aep-cbp@nira.com. And I will now hand it along to Rachel to discuss the application process.
Thanks, Matt. Good morning, everyone. In these next sections, I'll discuss the application process and review some of the information that bidders will need to provide with their online Part 1 and Part 2 forms. I'll then end today's presentation by providing an overview of the bidding process in the auction. First, the applications to participate in the auction are completed online on a website that's separate from the AEP-CBP website. And this site is aepohiocbp-application.com. To receive login credentials to access the online Part 1 and Part 2 forms, you'll need to register for an account. Now, if you're a returning bidder and have participated in the AEP auctions in the past, the auction manager will automatically send you your login credentials, so you won't need to register for an account again. But new bidders who have not participated in the AEP auctions should register for an account on the AEP-CBP website. Again, as Matt discussed, by clicking on the Contact Us and then register for an application account on the left-hand side of the page. You can also send us an email to receive login credentials, but please make sure to include your first and last name, your company name, and contact information in case we need to reach you. So the Part 1 application process is streamlined for returning bidders such that some of the fields within the online Part 1 form will be pre-populated with information that was provided the last time the bidder participated. For example, the first section of the online Part 1 form will ask you to provide contact information for the bidder and for a main representative. For returning bidders, the contact information for the representative will be pre-populated with the information provided the last time you've participated. In this first section, you'll also have the option to name additional representatives or nominees, and these individuals will be included on all correspondence with the auction manager. The next section of the Part 1 form requires a bidder to provide information related to its status as a PJM member and to indicate whether it is currently a market buyer, market seller, and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. With the Part 1 application, bidders are required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules and to the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement, and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders will also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying. Note here that additional information will be required for bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a guarantor. There is also a section in the Part 1 form where bidders may propose modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit. Bidders will be required to submit pre-bid security in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit with the Part 2 application. So this section in the online Part 1 form provides an opportunity for you to propose changes to the standard form of this document. As we discussed earlier, the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit specifies that the document is to be sent electronically to the auction manager instead of in hard copy. So please review the standard form to see whether you'd like to propose any modifications ahead of the Part 2 application window. AEP Ohio will review any proposed modifications, and a response will be provided indicating which changes are acceptable and which are not. And a preliminary list of acceptable modifications can be found on the documents page of the AEP-CBP website. With the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, bidders will need to complete and upload separate Microsoft Word files called inserts. Bidders may complete any required inserts by either printing, signing, having the signature notarized if needed, then scanning and uploading the insert to the online form, or bidders can complete an insert using a digital signature. If you're completing an insert using a digital signature, you'll need to use a program that allows the auction manager to verify the identity of the signatory. So a copy and pasted image of a signature will not be accepted here. Bidders can use programs such as DocuSign, Adobe Sign, or any other commercially available program, but again, we'll need to be able to verify the identity of the signatory. To be able to do that, you'll need to provide additional information or documentation along with the insert. For example, if you use DocuSign, you'll be required to provide an accompanying certificate of completion, which is an additional file that's generated using DocuSign. If you're using the program Adobe Sign, you'll need to provide the final audit report along with the insert. And if you complete an insert with a digital signature, you are not required to have the signature notarized. And again, the auction manager has posted a file to the documents page of the AEP-CBP website that gives step-by-step instructions on how to complete an insert with a digital signature. The slide lists the inserts that may be required with the Part 1 application. The representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the legal representative insert will be retained in the Part 1 form for returning bidders. And returning bidders do not need to upload new copies of these documents unless the information within the files has changed and needs to be updated. Other inserts, like the certifications insert, for example, will not be retained for returning bidders. And all bidders, both new and returning, will need to provide new copies of these inserts. If a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 1 application, that bidder will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager and will then be invited to submit a Part 2 application. New bidders and returning bidders must fulfill the same requirements in the online Part 2 form. With the Part 2 application, bidders submit their indicative offer, provide pre-bid security in the form of cash or an electronic pre-bid letter of credit, as well as make a number of additional certifications. Additionally, foreign entities will have additional requirements to complete with the Part 2 application. A bidder's indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches that a bidder is willing to bid at the minimum starting price and at the maximum starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is important because it's used to determine the amount of pre-bid security a bidder must provide with its Part 2 application. And this value also sets the total number of tranches that a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction. This is also called a bidder's initial eligibility. There are some additional rules that limit the number of tranches that a bidder can win in the auction. Specifically, a bidder may not win more than 80% of the tranches available in the auction. A bidder may also be limited by a credit-based tranche cap. This value is determined in a creditworthiness assessment made by AEP Ohio that is based on the financial information a bidder provides with its Part 1 application. More specifically, the assessment is made using the credit ratings provided in the online Part 1 form in accordance with the table on this slide. Bidders can review the results of their creditworthiness assessment in their Part 1 notification. Bidders will need to submit pre-bid security with the Part 1 application, Part 2 application in the form of cash or pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security is equal to $500,000 per tranche of a bidder's indicative offer at the maximum starting price. And as a reminder, for the upcoming auction, additional pre-bid security is not required. Bidders must also make a number of certifications with their Part 2 application, certifying to comply with the association and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. As a reminder, for bidders electing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit as pre-bid security, the pre-bid letter of credit may only be submitted by the issuing bank to the auction manager via electronic means to aep-cbp@nira.com. And hard copies of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. The standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit allows for its electronic submission. Specifically, the contact information in the beneficiary block lists the email address of the auction manager, and paragraph 14 includes language confirming that AEP Ohio may use the electronic PDF as it would a hard copy original. Again, please review the standard form of the electronic pre-bid letter of credit so that you may propose changes to the file with your Part 1 application as needed. The last few requirements of the Part 2 application include bidders making additional certifications that confirm any bid submitted in the auction is binding. And lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents that they provided with their Part 1 application. And note that these executed versions must include any modifications that were required by AEP Ohio. So just like with the online Part 1 form, the online Part 2 form will require bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, but all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. These inserts may be printed, signed, scanned, and uploaded to the online Part 2 form, or they may be completed with a digital signature and uploaded to the online Part 2 form with additional documentation or information needed for us to verify the identity of the signatory. And I'll end today's presentation by providing information on bidding in the auction. So if a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 2 application, that bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager and will be eligible to bid in the auction. As we discussed earlier, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. And each round in the auction is made up of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. And once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager then tabulates the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round, and bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. Note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. At the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. If it is determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target for the 12-month product. The specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time prior to the auction, but this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated, and the value of the target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price, or the round one price, is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction. A bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. A reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part 2 form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from round to round. So a bidder choosing to bid less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. After the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will tabulate the results of the round and calculate the next round's going price. Then this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase. This slide gives an example of the information provided to bidders in the reporting phase. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. The actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction minus the tranche target, will fall within the given range. In this example, the range reported to bidders is 51 to 55, which means that the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 51 or 55 or any value in between. Bidders will also have access to the results of their own bid, but as I said earlier, bidders will not have access to the results of any other bidder's bid. Information regarding a bidder's bid, identity, or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. Starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. Again, a bidder cannot bid more than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. In round two, the bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. In round three and in subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. This is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. An exit price must be greater than the current round's going price, but below or equal to the previous round's going price. In the example here, a bidder was withdrawing one tranche from the auction. Where it was bidding on six tranches, it's now bidding on five. The bidder submits an exit price of $59.22, which is above the going price of $58 per megawatt hour, but below the previous round's price of $60. If the auction continues on to round three, the bidder's eligibility will then be five tranches. Now, how does the auction close? The auction will continue as long as there is excess supply. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target or if the total number of tranches bid is less than the tranche target. The final price, where the auction clearing price is determined in one of two ways. If the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is the going price in that final round. If the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. This slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is calculated in the case where the total number of tranches bid in a round falls below the tranche target. Here you'll see in the number bid column that the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 35 to 30, so the auction will close. To fill the target of 33 tranches, we'll first take the 30 tranches bid at the round 12 going price. But we're still short three tranches. So so we will need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit prices submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain three tranches total to fill the target. We'll first select the two tranches with the lowest exit price of $38.69 from bidder A. And now we're short one tranche. We'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $38.99. We've now filled the tranche target of 33 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $38.99. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C. All bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $38.99. Before wrapping up the presentation today, I'll provide a few more reminders about the auction. First, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting bids using the auction software and trial auction on March 3rd. During the auction, if you're experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bids is to do so by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. The last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it is entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CDP rules and to get the bid in on time. For purposes of using the online auction software, please be sure that you're using any of the supported web browsers listed here and that you have a stable internet connection. If you need to reach us, please contact the auction manager team by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And as a reminder, if you intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to this same email address. This concludes the presentation portion of this webcast. If you have any questions, please locate the Q&A function on the right-hand side of your screen and select all panelists in the send to box, then type in your question and click send to submit your question to the presenters. We'll now pause for a brief moment to allow you to submit any questions that you may have, and we'll be back with you shortly.